From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and some great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, here's the number to call, 1-800-462-7413. Along with your calls, some interesting topics to talk about, sort of?
Yes. A study that just came out from the American Journal of Political Science, which we all know is a peer-refereed scientific journal, right, that shows that the odor that you produce in your body might just indicate whether or not you lean left or right in the political spectrum.
So you smell different
if you're a liberal versus a conservative. We'll talk about the science behind this very provocative study that, by the way, was not government-sponsored. Just thought I'd let you know. And kids who receive antibiotics may be at risk for obesity. That's very interesting data. We're going to talk about poop and antibiotics and whether or not that will affect how heavy you are when you are an adult.
Interesting. What's our recipe?
Cherry tomato and green bean salad. It's a great time of year, wonderful time to think about salads that might be an autumn salad for you, or winter or spring or summer.
Our toll-free number again is 800-462-7413. And Zorba, our first caller is a listener in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can we help?
Well, I have shin splints quite often, and they can't seem to quite ever get them to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I exercise quite often, and I bike. It seems like whenever I walk, I get shin splints, and I'm wondering if there's something dietary I could do or some medicine something I could rub on my legs to make the pain go away.
When do you get your shin splints? You said just when you're walking?
They kind of show up after a 5-mile walk or so.
Okay.
My friend and I walk pretty vigorously, quite fast.
Okay, so it's vigorous, athletic walking. It's not strolling through the park on a Sunday afternoon looking at things. In other words, it's walking exercise. Tell me, what do you do during the week? I mean, what sort of, you sound like you're a hardcore runner, biker, exerciser. How much exercise do you get a week?
Well, my goal is always to try to exercise 3 to 5 times a week, but I am a mom, so I don't always get those in, but I do biking, walking, and running, and mix them up a little bit here and there.
Are there times that it bothers you more? Is it related to the amount of exercise you're doing?
Yes, probably so. Probably related to the amount, but it seems to bother more after a vigorous walk.
Okay.
And I do have good shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these things usually are not a shoe issue. Well, first of all, shin splints are really, we've got a muscle on the front of our tibia, and it's really the muscle on front of the tibia. It's a long, broad, sort of thin muscle, and it has a bunch of attachment on the bones, and it's really from overuse of that muscle. And when I say overuse, it's overuse of normal activity, which would be walking around and taking care of your child. And what you're doing is you're putting pressure on that muscle. So there's some things you can do. Stretching exercises, a physical therapist, trainer, YouTube. If you go to zorbapastor.org, I'll put a number of exercises, some YouTube exercises that I think are really, really good for shin splint stretching exercises. The other thing you can do, you talked about, you can take an oral anti-inflammatory when you're bothered, but you're not going to want to take that, all the time. But if you're going through a period of time when you're really bothered, two Aleve in the morning, two Aleve in the evening for a week or two, we'll get it to settle down. But massage with some sort of a cream on top of where the shin is, where you have it before you exercise and after you exercise, can make a difference. And there are a variety of these around, not just like Bengay, which has counter irritants, but sometimes Zostrix cream. These are creams that contain capsaicin. You can buy them over the counter, and capsaicin cream carefully put on the shin prior to exercise, and then sometimes after you exercise, can make a big difference. And if you use the capsaicin cream, I recommend you put it on with a glove, because if it gets under your nail and you scratch your eye, your eye's going to burn.
Yeah.
So what you do is you buy over-the-counter capsaicin. They come in different strengths. I'd probably get the lowest strength initially. Put on a rubber glove that you just used for that and rub it on the outside. And like I said, you don't want to get it under your nails. See if that makes a difference, because that's local care to the muscle that may reduce the pain and discomfort, combined with the right stretching exercises might help solve your problem.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Zorba.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And our toll-free number is 1-800-462-7413, 800-462-7413. And Zorba, a Bryan, Texas listener joins in now. Hi.
Hi. I love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
How can we help?
Well, it's this problem. When I roll my head around my shoulders, I hear or feel a grinding noise, and I was wondering what's happening there. And my wife can't hear it, but I certainly can feel it. And I want to know if it's dangerous or not, or what I can do about it.
Uh-huh. A grinding noise?
Yeah, it's like putting sand in a mortar pistol, I guess, situation, and taking a grinder and kind of grinding around and get that, I guess you call it a grinder.
Tom is now grinding his neck.
I've got the same thing.
Tom is now grinding his neck.
I've got the same thing.
He's got, and he didn't even realize it. Yeah. See, he didn't realize he had a grinding sound.
Isn't it the bones or the cartilage or something?
Well, in your case, I
don't know.
Yeah, I'm asking Zorba.
Yeah, right. Tom is asking me about his grinding because he doesn't know it. But your wife can't hear it. You can hear it.
No, she can't hear it.
Okay, so that means the sound is by bone conduction. You can hear it because it's bone conduction. And grinding without pain generally is just fine. What is it? Well, kids don't have grinding sounds, you know. So part of it is old age, you know.
Oh, don't tell me about it.
Previous.
Well, that explains my having the same thing.
That's right. That's right. And actually, I've got some grinding sound. I'm tilting my neck now. Also, I've got some grinding sounds too. But seriously, it's often previous injuries. So when you were younger, did you play any sports?
Yes. Baseball.
Baseball, okay.
That's about it, yeah.
Baseball. Did you ever slide into base?
Yes, a few times, yeah.
A few times, slid into base. So you may have injured yourself during part of your baseball games. You may have fallen or slid into base or so on. And then what happens is over time we develop arthritis, you know, as often in previous injuries. And often that bone is then irregular. And as the ligaments and tendons slide over the bone, they slide over these irregular prominences, and they make a sound. Now, if I can feel the sound when I move your neck around, which I may be able to do as a doctor, but you're on the other side of the radio, so I can't do it today.
Quite a few miles.
It's called crepitus. We actually have a name for it, and it's a sign of arthritis. So when someone comes in and they say, my knee is grinding, knee is the most common form, common arthritic form we see. I'll move the knee back and forth. I can't hear it, but I can feel it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So getting back to your wife, I would recommend.
I don't know if I want to do that.
The next time you see your wife, sometime today, say, honey, feel the back of my neck. And when you move your neck, she may be able to feel it, even though she can't hear it. And then, and then it's one of those quality family moments when you're just once again.
Can you do anything for this?
No, we can't do anything about it. No. However, it doesn't hurt, right?
No, it doesn't hurt at all.
No.
I can feel it and I can hear it.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean the end of the world is coming. You know, it doesn't mean that your demise is imminent.
Oh,
it just means it's baseball injuries. So.
But that was 40 years ago.
Yes, that's right. Well, we carry with ourselves a curriculum vitae of our past lives.
Ooh, that's very
some nice. Of which, did you like that,
yeah,
Tom?
That's very good.
A curriculum vitae of our past lives. Some of the things we want to remember more than others.
And well, it's reminding me right now.
We'll leave it like that.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. 800-462-7413.
You know, I say some of the things we want to remember, and others we're still embarrassed about. So I'm 5 years old, and I'm on the playground, River Park in Chicago. Okay. And the cutest girl in my kindergarten class, I remember this like yesterday. I don't remember her name, but she had this long blonde hair, offers me a Fig Newton. And I took the Fig Newton and ate it. I hated Fig Newtons. Needless to say, I upchucked the Fig Newton right in front of the girl. Then she didn't speak to me for the rest of the semester.
You didn't make a big hit.
No, I'm still think about it. I'm still embarrassed. Who knows what this girl is at River Park? That was more than 60 years ago.
And you remember it to the day.
But I like Fig Newtons now.
So, Zorba, a study shows we're more attracted to the body odors of people who vote like us.
That's right. That's right. So, first of all, let's talk about the science behind this. This is the American Journal of Political Science. So, it's not the New England Journal of Medicine. I think that's important. And they have, however, there's an investigator from Brown University, you know, good, great university. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they looked at body odors. They took 140 adults undergo sort of an experiment under the age of 40. And some were staunch liberals. Mm-hmm. Some were staunch conservatives, and a lot of them were in between. Then they collected body odor samples. Now, how did they do that? That's exactly what I was asking. How did they collect body odor samples? So we can just imagine, right? That's exactly it. Tom is now putting his arm under his arm. Putting it under. What else are you going to collect?
Some underarm, and yeah. Okay.
Well, they're called. It's called the apocrine glands. That's really. Those are the ones that give you the smell.
Yeah.
From the 21 deeply political people. In other words, I am a conservative until I die. I am a liberal until I die. The liberals hate the conservatives, and the conservatives hate the liberals. Then they had a blind test, and they found out. And then they had a blind test of people, and the people in the blind test, some were liberals, some were conservatives. Yeah. They had them sniff the tubes, right?
All right.
Sniff the tubes. Already we're in a dangerous part of life, right? Yeah. Sniffing
not,
the tubes.
Not actual science.
Yeah, not actual science. They sniffed the tubes, and they said, do you like the smell or not? Now, who would engage in an experiment where you're sniffing the tubes of somebody else's body odor? I just have to question whether this is the general population. It doesn't say whether or not they were paid to sniff the tubes. And they found out people who were conservative generally liked the odors of conservative people more than, you know, and vice versa, of course. Now, to give an example, one woman wanted to take the vial home because she thought it was the best perfume she had ever smelled. Now, I don't know if she ultimately married the person who she smelled on there, but others thought that the vial had gone rancid.
Yeah.
I think I'd be in the rancid stuff. So what do we make about a scientific study like this, Tom?
Well,
yes.
I don't know. obviously it's bunk.
Obviously it's bunk, and you know, it's called junk science. But I think there's something kind of interesting. First of all, it is an interesting study, but I think it's an example of how you can't believe everything you read, you know. And it's a small study, and it made the news because liberals smell differently than conservatives. But the reality is, I really don't believe that there's a difference between one versus another.
One group
doesn't make
is saying
sense.
To the other, you stink.
I think that's it. You hit it, Tom. You stink. No. Now they have scientific evidence behind them to say you stink.
1-800-462-7413, toll-free, 800-462-7413.
Now, toll-free, does that have any meaning to somebody on their cell phone? I just want to tell you something. The 800 number, toll-free, that's
good
right.
Point.
That's
yeah.
You know, 46% of the population doesn't even know what toll-free means.
You're right. Well, to a few of you, toll-free.
That's right, that's right.
Winnipeg, Manitoba joins in now. Hi.
Driver, mm-hmm. And I have issues with my weight, and it's very hard for me to exercise. I'm a long-distance truck driver, so I'm sitting down in the truck for quite a while. And I'm just wondering if there's any kind of pills that Dr. Zorba could suggest in lieu of exercise. I try to watch what I eat, but I just want to see if there's anything else you can suggest.
Mm-hmm. Zorba, you love to hear from truckers.
Oh, I love truckers. Truckers are great. Truckers are some of my...
I'm a Canadian trucker.
I love it. I love it. They're some of my best fans are truckers. And anyone who drives a truck, you guys have problems, like you said, because here it is, you're in your truck all the time, and that produces great, you know, great difficulties in terms of exercise. Well, I want to talk a little bit about exercise because it is important. So when you get a break, when you take a break, how long is your break?
It's usually about half an hour.
Okay. One of the things you want to try to do during either your break time or what you want to try to do during the time when you're your downtime when trucking is to try to get some activity in there. And that activity can be walking activity. If the weather's bad, you're obviously not going to do walking activity. But if the weather's good, and a lot of the times the weather is good, you can bundle up and just get out of that truck, walk around, and begin to do something. It's very hard to do that in your line of work, yeah. But it's not impossible.
Yeah, and you're saying if the weather's good, she's in Canada, Zorba.
Yeah, well, Canada has good weather. I lived in Canada.
Oh, they do?
Yes, please.
Yeah, we do, but I actually drive the States most of the time, and that's how I listen to your show.
But I lived in Nova Scotia for a couple of years, so, and good weather in Nova Scotia. But getting back to this, that's number one. You want to say, okay, I've got day off here, I've got a day off there. You want to begin to incorporate exercise into your weekly routine. Maybe not your daily routine, but the weekly routine. Okay, number two. There is no magic pill. I would love it. If I had a magic pill, I would make $10 billion if I had a bill to lose weight. So one of the problems, one of the challenges as a truck driver is that truck stops. I know Tom will be shocked by this, but truck stops, I can just see his faces contorting all over the place, are not known for their healthy food.
No.
it's roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. I mean, it's known for the high-fat food. So you have to then, especially when you're over the road, you have to try to pick truck stops that actually have better food in them, or you have to try to pick and go to a place like McDonald's that actually has healthy choices in terms of, you know, protein such as chicken in a salad format, or even in a sandwich format, or Subway, which is my favorite fast food place because they have low calorie food in Subway that can really be quite good and quite tasty.
We have a salad recipe coming up. You could take a salad with you, couldn't you?
Yes, you could, but you know, and that is the other option. I think Tom has a good point. And if you're on the road, you can go to a salad bar in many, many grocery stores that now have salad bars. So you can take it with you, put it in your cooler. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't do it 100% of the time, you're going to start to get value from it. It's my theory that 250 calories here and 250 calories there will reduce weight. 250 calories is a small cheeseburger at McDonald's. That's not a lot of food, but if you eat that much less every day, you will be 10 pounds less at the end of 1 year.
Okay.
So look for the little things. Try to snack on the right stuff. And as Tom said, bring a salad with you. And keep listening on the road. I love truckers.
And keep on trucking.
I will definitely do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for your call.
Before we take a break, Zorba, let's take a quick email question from a listener, Rick, in Spokane, Washington. He writes, "Dear Dr. Zorba, on a recent show, you told a caller that it was okay for her to exercise in her bare feet. However, you are often stating that we should not be barefoot in our homes. I'm confused. Please clarify." Oh, thanks. I love your show. Even if Tom doesn't like vegetables, I do like vegetables.
Even if Tom doesn't like vegetables, it's like if you're friends with somebody, it's like political. If you're, you don't like vegetables,
I'm not going to hang around with you.
That's right.
anti-veggie.
That's right. You're an anti-veggie person. You're an all-protein meat guy.
Yeah.
Well, I've never said don't walk around barefoot in your house unless you have plantar fasciitis. If you have plantar fasciitis, do not walk around barefoot in your house. But a lot of people like to walk around barefoot in their house, and there's nothing wrong with that. If your feet hurt, that's usually the problem with it. The issue also is walking around barefoot outside. Mm-hmm. I have seen more and more young people go outside during warm weather and walk around barefoot outside, especially around certain events. And I think, why would you want to walk barefoot outside? I mean, shoes protect you, and they protect you in the environment and having the right shoes count. So I hope I've clarified that barefoot in the house unless your feet hurt. And Tom is a veggie lover. He's not a veggie hater. He's changed his tune.
You're right. Have a healthy living question for Zorba? Post it to our Facebook page or send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
We have that recipe coming up, of course. More of your calls. Another interesting topic to talk about, our medical mythbuster, too. All right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. That toll-free number again, 800-462-7413, 1-800-462-7413. But before our next call, Zorba, our recipe for cherry, tomato, and green bean salad.
Right. Now, so first of all, some recipes I like to be complex because the flavors are complex. I'm trying to develop a risotto that I really like, and I've done several experiments around my house, and I haven't found one that I really like yet. Sometimes it's nice to do something that's really simple and tastes fresh. And this is one of those recipes. I don't know if you're familiar with the magazine Real Simple.
No.
Well, it's if you look at a newsstand, are you familiar with newsstands?
There aren't newsstands anymore, are there?
Magazines and newspapers and newsstands. But if you look at
payphones.
Payphones, next to payphones, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you look at that, in the magazine section, Real Simple happens to be a fairly thick magazine. In other words, it's not like Time Magazine, which doesn't have as many readers.
Yeah.
It actually has more and more readers. And there are lots of commercials because people like simple. This is a real simple recipe. Okay, so cherry tomato and green bean salad. And it's got some interesting things in it. So start out with 2 tablespoonfuls of finely chopped shallots.
2 big T, finely chopped shallots.
And if you don't have a shallot, you can use a green onion. But shallots are wonderful. They have a milder flavor than onion. They're in the same family, but they're mildly flavored. 2 teaspoons of freshly grated lemon zest.
Freshly grated lemon zest.
So, you know, zest itself has a bitter taste to it, but it, you know, and so you're only moving it around, but it has really the smell of the lemon. And if you don't have a good zester, get a good zester, because good zesters are wonderful. You will no longer you will no longer have blood in your zest if you have a good zester. Let's just put it that way. It'll be fine. 2 teaspoons of kosher salt.
2 little tea kosher salt.
Teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. If your pepper has been pre-ground, throw it away and get a grinder. 6 tablespoons of freshly squeezed orange juice, only fresh squeezed in this recipe.
6 tablespoons freshly squeezed lemon juice.
Yeah, and that's going to be about, a lemon is probably about 6 tablespoons, maybe a little bit more. 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil.
1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil.
Now, I know, Tom, when you go shopping, which is about once in a decade, if you go to, you know, Trader Joe's? Have you heard of Trader Joe's?
I go shopping every week, grocery shopping every week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
And I don't go to Trader Joe's, but my wife goes once a week, and she does go to Trader Joe's.
Who spends more money?
I do.
Oh, you spend more. So you do a bigger shop than she does.
Do.
You do the bigger shop, yeah. She gets fancier
stuff
at Trader Joe's.
I shop early Sunday morning.
It's a good time to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can just
zip
down the aisles.
No, that's true. That's true. You want to know another time? Do you want to know when I do the shop around my house?
When?
Saturday night.
That would work.
I'm a night person.
Yeah.
You zip down the aisles, and you know what? Saturday night, everyone's actually happy in the store because they want to get out of there and have a good time.
Yeah.
So,
anyway.
But anyway, so just getting back to that. Different olive oils have different tastes. So when I go to Trader Joe's, one of the places I'd like to go to, I often buy several different kinds of olive oils. Some are zestier than others.
Oh.
Choose your olive oil. They're not all the same.
Wow, you really are a chef, aren't you?
That's what I mean. Well, I don't know if I'm a chef, but think about that. 2 pounds of green beans trimmed the ends.
2 pounds green beans trimmed
The ends. That's right, the ends.
Trim, yeah, take the ends off,
trim
course,
the ends,
yeah.
That's right. A pound of cherry tomatoes. Pick your cherry tomatoes right if you can. There's some that actually taste better than others. In my grocery store where I shop, there are three different kinds of cherry tomatoes, and some taste sweeter than others.
Huh. You just trial and error, I assume.
Well, yeah, the ones with the yellow package on the bottom taste much better. Oh. And actually, the yellow tomatoes, when they have them, that are cherry tomatoes, are much, much better. But yeah,
oh, really?
Trial and error, mm-hmm. It works.
A pound of them.
That's kind of science, trial and error, you know.
Yeah.
1/2 cup of finely chopped fresh Italian parsley, leaves and stems, and if you don't have that, any parsley will do.
1/2 cup of finely chopped fresh Italian parsley, leaves and stems.
That's right. Okay. Now bring a large pot of heavily salted water to a boil. Prepare a nice water bath by filling a bowl halfway with ice and water. Set it aside. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you're going to make the dressing. Place the shallot, lemon zest, and measured salt and pepper in a medium non-reactive bowl. Add the lemon juice, whisk continuously, slowly drizzle in the oil, and whisk until it's evenly combined. Set that aside. Then, add the green beans to boiling water. You put a bunch of salt in there. Mm-hmm. Cook it until it's crispy but tender, and that's about 3 to 4 minutes. Immediately drain it in the ice water bath so it stops cooking, and that way it retains its crunch. Mm. And then when the beans are chilled, drain it again. Pat it with paper towels. Place the beans, the tomatoes, the parsley in a bowl. Toss it, pour it in the dressing, and voila! Voila! You've got a great, wonderful,
great.
Delicious
And you can
dish.
Add some salt. Throw some walnuts in there,
You
maybe.
Can throw walnuts
some
in there.
Some dried apple slices.
Dried apple slices would be great in there, something like that. Yeah, I like that idea. A little feta cheese if you want.
Yeah, excellent.
That.
Yeah,
lots of things you could put in. So if you want a copy of today's recipe, where do you think they go, Tom?
Let's see. Could I send a letter?
No, you can't send a letter. But you know what? You can find us through Facebook. Either go to Facebook, come to us, send us a note through Facebook. You can enter our website through Facebook or going to ZorbaPastor.org. And on that page, you will also see Tom's picture, and you will love it.
800-462-7413, toll free. To the phones again, Zorba, a listener with us now in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
I just wanted to find out about, I've been on Cymbalta for the past 2 years, 60 milligrams. And I've had some side effects like double vision and, of course, the cost. It was very expensive. So I've been wanting to – I'm off of it right now. It's been 3 weeks. I've switched over to Sammy 400 milligrams. And I was wondering what your opinion is on Sammy and what you think about switching over from, those drugs to a more natural kind of medicine.
Okay. So you're on SAM-E, which is which is really a supplement. Okay.
Yes.
So which brand do you buy?
Right now I've got Nature Made.
Uh-huh. How did you decide that?
Well, I've been on antidepressants for the 10 to 12 years, different ones, and I've been hearing about this, and I've been wanting to, not get off of Cymbalta because of the double vision and the side effects. It kind of, over the years, I've realized that it sort of numbs your senses and it kills your personality to a certain extent.
It certainly can change things, and that's why we take them often to change. But now, when you chose the brand of Sammy to take, how did you choose that brand? Did you have any thought? Did you buy the cheapest one? Did you like the label? Was it the pharmacist? How did you end up choosing that brand?
I thought it was better than some other brand.
Okay, that's generally what people would think. You cannot tell whether a supplement is good by looking at the label or talking to other people. It's got to be tested. I recommend people go to consumerlab.com. I like them. They are a great website, and they test supplements. So go to consumerlab.com. You have to pay money for 1 month or one time or 1 year because it's a pay-as-you-go type of thing, just like Consumer Reports. People pay up front so there are no commercials. Look up their Sammy, you look on the website before you pay. It'll tell you whether or not Sammy is there. And then only buy the ones they've tested. Period. End of discussion. Okay. And the reason is lots of supplements are junk. They have contaminants in them. They don't have the stuff in them you buy them for. The FDA has done a miserable job of regulating them thanks to Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch got a bunch of regulations passed from the vitamin industry, and so they're regulated in a totally different way. They're regulated like cosmetics. And there are political and reasons behind this that I am against. I think they should be regulated the way vitamins are regulated. So if you buy Sammy, it'll be in there. And right okay. now, you can't be sure. So choose that one. And I don't know if Nature's Way or Happy Valley has that or not. Now, whether or not that makes a difference with depression, we don't know. It's a very interesting okay. supplement, but I would take it for a while and see how you do. Depression tends to come and go, and for some people it goes. It certainly is worth trying the supplement to see if it works. If it doesn't work, then you might want to go back to an antidepressant. And duloxetine, which is Cymbalta, by the way, is now generic. It's not cheap, yeah. but it it's is not. Cheaper and will become cheap, much cheaper in about 3 to 4 years.
And you wouldn't know about the dosage, like I picked up 400 milligrams. Do you know?
No, I don't think there's any science behind it to say it's regulated. I would try one or two. The main issue is you want to pick a brand if it says 400 milligrams that has 400 milligrams.
I see.
If your brand isn't tested, toss it out. Get a brand that's tested.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We appreciate that call. 1-800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. And a Madison caller joins in now, Zorba. Hi.
Yes, hi. I had a quick question about the use of food-grade paraffin wax in confectionaries, on vegetables, fruits, and in the baking industry. Is there any scientific evidence about this being bad or unsafe for our health?
Well, first of all, it's generally the FDA considers them to be neutral, that wax is neutral. And there's actually good thought for that. People, if you eat wax, most people don't eat wax,
yeah.
but if you eat wax, it's a great laxative. Your body eventually actually
really?
Sort of, yeah, wax. It depends on the melting point of wax. But mineral oil is basically liquid wax. It's not exactly liquid wax. A mineral oil is sort of an old-fashioned thing for bowels that very few people take anymore.
Right.
There are other things that are far better than that. But so it's generally considered to be neutral in the body. So that's about the best thing. I don't think there's any evidence that it's not. Now, the thing about coating apples, that's a very interesting thing. Why do they coat apples with wax? Because it keeps them looking beautiful and we're more likely to buy them. So they're doing it because we want to buy them. If you look at apples, you know, a lot of apples that are on a tree in your backyard, well, they might have a little insect in them. And what you would do back in the day is you would cut out that insect part and eat the rest of the apple. And organic, a lot of organic produce does not have wax on it or in it. Now, the chocolate industry, I can't comment on. I love chocolate, and maybe they do put wax in, but I've never looked at it.
Like, I know Hershey's uses this type of wax, and a lot of companies use it, and there's a lot of fear today about petroleum being in food, and even though this is a refined petroleum product, could it possibly get into the body, or will it just pass through the body safely? And I wanted to know if there's any science done on it. Is there any proof out there that says, yes, this is probably not good for you to be ingesting, or it's completely safe? And then who's doing the testing? Is Hershey's paying for the test?
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, is this done by an outside source?
Those are all good questions. First of all, there is a website for everything under the sun that exists. and each website on one side says it's pro, and on the other side says it's con. So we know that because we've seen that all over the place. Would Hershey's pay for it? Well, they would do research to find out whether or not something was dangerous because they wouldn't want to use it in their candy. Now, if they knew it was dangerous, would they actually pay to take it out? I think for the most part, companies want to have safe products. So I believe that they would do that. And I think if that were the case, they would be more likely to step up to the plate and say, we're not going to use it anymore. Now, do I know? Is there any science behind it? I don't know of any. But I bet there are some people out there in Radioland who will probably send us an email, Zorba@WPR.org. That's Zorba@WPR.org. And send us your thoughts about wax in chocolate. And let's see what we can garner. We'll discuss it on one of our next shows.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah,
and enjoy
you so
your
much.
Chocolate.
Appreciate the call. And before the break, Zorba, time to let one of our listeners give us a piece of their mind in a segment we call Disagreeing with the Doc. Today's disagreement comes from Remus of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He writes, Dear Dr. Zorba, in regards to the late Dr. Atkins, he did not die of cardiovascular complications, but rather from severe head trauma after falling on icy pavement after major snowstorm in April of 2003. On admission at the time of his initial injury, he weighed 195 pounds, not obese for his height, but after spending 9 days in intensive care before passing away, where he was being hydrated with intravenous fluids, his weight did increase to 258 pounds due to fluid overload, which led to his detractors saying he was obese.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a coronary angiogram done within the previous year by his cardiologist was reported as pristine. It is not to say that Dr. Atkins didn't have his health problems, namely a viral cardiomyopathy with associated congestive heart failure and a history of myocardial infarction. But his low-carbohydrate diet had nothing to do with it.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks for that discussion. First of all,
cardiomyopathy, myocardial infarction.
It's all those words.
No more of these emails.
No more. That's right. Forget these emails.
Yeah.
So, first of all, a few things. Number one, where does this person get their information? Is this from the National Enquirer or somewhere else?
You're saying this isn't true?
Somebody wrote a letter and gave us information. Second of all, he went in the hospital. Let's do the math. He came out. He was 258, quote, when he went in, and he's 195 when he went in, and a 258. Yeah. So nobody's watching how much weight he's gaining. That means they pumped him in, if my numbers are correct, with 7 gallons of water. So why would he go in the hospital and they would put him on 7 gallons of water? Now, that you know how much a bag of, when they hang a bag in the hospital. Yeah. It's a liter. So that's 7 times 4. So they would have had to hang 28 bags of saline to him in order for him to gain that much weight.
And that doesn't tend to happen.
Come on. What nurse, what doctor in their right mind, we do something called input and output.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. We might overhydrate people, and it is a problem. But we don't overhydrate them with 7 gallons of water or 28 bags of saline. That would be that would turn out to be medical malpractice. Yeah. It doesn't happen that at all. It is indeed true that he fell. But also, you have to remember, because he was a money-making opportunity. It was Dr. Atkins' diet and Dr. Atkins' candy and Dr. Atkins' fruits and vegetables and Dr. Atkins' cookbooks. They want to make sure they keep the Atkins brand alive, and it's important to them, the powers to be, to make sure we say, no. He didn't die of cardiovascular disease. We can tell you he died of a fall, and he died if they hydrated him too much. Well, if they hydrated him that much, why didn't they sue the hospital?
Yeah. Okay, I sure understand.
Are you with me?
Your point. It makes sense to me, but you understand that every time we talk about this, we're going to get 1,000 more emails.
And you're going to read each one of them, right? Each one
Not
of them.
Not if I have to say cardiomyopathy, myocardial infarction.
Oh, great. So you got it right. You are educable. You can do it, Tom. If you can say the words, you can be a doctor. You need is the words to say. Anyone can do it.
If you disagree with something Zorba said, just post it on our Facebook page or send us an email.
No, don't send it. Send it to Tom. Don't send it to me. It's Zorba@WPR.org. Keep them emails coming, folks. Keep them coming.
Another topic to talk over. That's coming up next. More of your calls, our medical Mythbuster 2. Hang out with us here on Zorba Pastor and Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Our toll-free number is 1-800-462-7413. But before our next call, Zorba, this is interesting. Antibiotics linked to child obesity.
Well, first of all, let's talk about poop. There's more to poop than poop, and we're just beginning to realize it. Many people who have irritable bowel syndrome may have it because they have the wrong poop. In other words, the wrong bacteria that are actually in their colon. We know certain things make your colon better. Yogurt is a very good example. Probiotics are a good example. And we know certain things make things worse, antibiotics being chief among them, because they destroy bacteria that might be bad and bacteria that might be good. We also know in America that we overuse antibiotics tremendously. In Europe, if a child has an ear infection, they don't give them antibiotics. They wait and see what they are like in a day or two. In America, a red ear means an antibiotic, and that's what we learned
link
to expect.
Poop to obesity.
Well, they looked at antibiotics, 65,000 children. These are health records of 65,000 children from the year 2001 to 2013. About 70% of them got oral antibiotics by the age of two. That is an enormous number of kids. 70% had gotten antibiotics by the age of two, most of whom really didn't need those antibiotics. And a lot of them got two or three rounds of antibiotics. Then they looked at the kids who got the antibiotics, compared them to the kids in this health plan who did not get antibiotics, and lo and behold, the ones who got antibiotics for ear infections, bronchitis, and other ailments were much more likely to be obese, 16% more likely. Now, 16% may not seem like a huge number, but 16% of all the children who get antibiotics in the country is a big number.
Yeah, but again, what does this have to do with poop?
Well, because we think the antibiotics may change the flora of your intestine, and there's more and more information that the flora of your intestine and the way it actually lives affects our appetite, affects how we digest food, and affects basically how we live our lives. And that's one of the issues that are there. So it's that the antibiotic, the only explanation for this, and once again, it's not a double-blind placebo-controlled trial. But the one of the reasonable explanations is that this is affecting the way the bacteria in our gut process our food, may make it more likely we are to become obese, but the connection is there, and they think poop is really where the denominator
is. That's interesting. So the takeaway here is be very careful about antibiotics.
The takeaway is always be careful. So the first question, if you're going into a doctor, and your doctor – well, the first thing, if you're going into a doctor, do not insist on antibiotics. That's a biggie. The next thing is, if you need an antibiotic, say, do I really need this antibiotic? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, a doctor asked that question will say no.
Especially for the young kids.
Absolutely. And so I think it's very important as a parent to realize antibiotics have side effects that we have to respect.
800-462-7413 is our toll-free number. And Zorba, time now again for our medical mythbuster. Today's question comes to us via Facebook from Chad in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He writes, "Hi, Dr. Zorba. I keep seeing long lists of ailments, including the common cold, which can be cured by consuming honey and cinnamon. Is there any data to back up these claims?"
I wish there were data. I wish that honey and cinnamon would work to get rid of a common cold, but there's no data because it probably makes you feel better, and then you feel like you're on top of it. But the data for all the folk remedies for the common cold have been miserable. Zinc, vitamin C, honey, lemon. I can still remember I was sick with a terrible cold when I was a graduate student, and the Austrian graduate student, very nice woman, said to me, "You should give what my mother gives me, and that's warm wine with sugar." I still, that was pretty good. I kind of liked that. I went home, of course, after I had the warm wine with sugar. None of it actually gets rid of the cold. What it does do, though, makes you feel better. You feel hydrated when that happens. Your defense mechanisms might improve, and that might help you.
Yeah, that's really very important.
Oh, you bet. Of course it is. You know, how you feel when you're sick actually determines how sick you actually are.
I mean,
that has a lot to do with it. So I think it's a myth that it gets rid of the cold sooner, but it's not a myth that it may help you along.
Have a potential myth you'd like Zorba to weigh in on? Just post it to our Facebook page or send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413 is the number you'll call if you'd like to talk with Zorba. Our next caller, Zorba, is a listener with us in Hutchinson, Kansas. Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
my question. First of all, thank you so much. I enjoy the show, and I appreciate doctor's practical advice. My question is whether I should take bioidentical hormones for my bones.
Mm-hmm. Bioidentical hormones. So what are those?
Well, as I have learned, they are hormones that are molecularly similar to mm-hmm. the hormones our body produces.
Mm-hmm. And who makes these biomolecular hormones, and what do they cost?
You have to get them from a compounding pharmacy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And mm-hmm. they cost about $50 a month.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what kind of hormones are they? I mean, when we look at your bone health, you know, are they estrogen or progesterone? If they're estrogen, we know estrogen may be worthwhile for osteoporosis, but it has side effects. You know, so we used to give out a lot of estrogen, and now we give out very little estrogen. Mm-hmm. And the a lot of compounding pharmacies used to compound estrogen and estrogen-progesterone combinations, especially for women with PMS, and it's still very useful for that. But they lost a lot of business when they stopped compounding this for women with osteoporosis. So I just want to put that out there. I'm not sure about that. I don't know what hormones they're talking about. I mean, it turns out parathyroid hormone is used for, we make in our body, parathyroid hormone are these four little glands that are right on the thyroid. They're very important for calcium and to maintain calcium. And parathyroid hormone has to be the body produces it itself. So I doubt if it's that. So I don't know what they're selling you. Do you have the prescription bottle right there?
I wrote So
okay.
I do,
what does
and
it say?
So three entries. The first is biased, B-I-E-S-T,
mm-hmm.
and then P-R-O,
uh-huh.
and T-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a value
uh-huh.
for each.
Okay. So these are what I would call nutraceuticals. Okay, nutraceuticals. So what they did is they compounded a number of things. They give it a quasi-scientific name. Okay, so they're saying it's your natural hormones. To me, that's quasi-scientific. There's no good science behind it. Okay, there's no good science behind it. So what they're doing, and once again, it might work for you, it might not, but what they're doing is they're giving you a little taste of science. They're calling it your natural hormones, when in fact, they're not actually corresponding to anything that I as a doctor can see are your natural hormones. Okay, because it's not parathyroid hormone, that's for sure. They can't manufacture that. And I don't know what hormone they're talking about. So they're giving it a name, natural hormones. I don't know what that is. So they've sold you something for $50 a month, you know, which is, you know, if you do the math, it's $600 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying it's good for your osteoporosis. And in fact, I don't know what their evidence is. There may not be any evidence behind it. Can I ask you, do you have osteoporosis?
Yeah, I'm 60 years old, mm-hmm. and I just had a yeah. bone scan, yeah. I mean, half a year ago, mm-hmm. and it showed osteoporosis in my spine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It really sent me for a loop because I feel like I take care of myself.
Sure.
I'm active and
sure. You, of
so,
course.
Mm-hmm. But, and then osteopenia yeah. in my hip.
Okay.
And my regular doctor mm-hmm. prescribed Fosamax,
mm-hmm. okay.
which I have started taking.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what else, what sort of exercise are you doing?
I mm-hmm. jog every day.
Good.
And do yoga.
Good. The jogging and yoga, perfect, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Calcium intake, what are you doing for calcium and where are you getting your calcium?
I started taking mm-hmm. I found this online, mm-hmm. a vitamin called Pro Bono.
Uh-huh.
That's supposed to be a combination vitamin for bones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're taking, do you like dairy products?
I do.
Uh-huh. Are you having dairy products, container of yogurt every day?
Not yogurt, but I have upped my dairy product mm-hmm. in what I take in
okay.
based on this diagnosis.
Well, you need at least 1,000 milligrams a day. Now, we doctors have been saying 1,800 milligrams a day. The Europeans have stuck at about 1,000. We know once you drop below 1,000, it increases your risk. So you want to get 1,000 a day. We also, it appears that that calcium from a natural source, such as a dairy product, is absorbed differently in the body. There might be a cofactor there. We don't really understand it. So I would recommend getting it, naturally through spinach. I think kale has it. If you go to my website, zorbapastor.org, we'll give you a list of calcium-containing products. Dairy is an easy way to get it. A container of yogurt's about 400, 350 to 400 milligrams. And then you can do it with elemental calcium from other sources, such as what you're probably getting from what you have. I don't see the label, but if it says the amount of calcium in there, that's good. The other thing is vitamin D. Are you taking vitamin D?
It's part of that combination vitamin, although I've actually been more conscious of getting out in the sun after I've done all my reading about bone health. Maybe I overprotected myself.
But vitamin D is easy and cheap. 2,000 milligrams or international units a day. 2,000 of vitamin D. Cheap, inexpensive. You can get a one-year supply for about $10 at Target. Very inexpensive. I would take 2,000 milligrams of vitamin D every day. And the reason is we know D is actually an important natural product that you need in order to maintain your bones. So exercise, calcium to 1,000 milligrams a day, 2,000 milligrams of D. Those are the important things to do, with the exercise probably being number one.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hope that helps.
Yeah, appreciate the call. At 800-462-7413. And before we head out, Zorba, let's try something new. We always appreciate our listeners posting their thoughts on our Facebook page, so we'd like to acknowledge their participation in a new segment we're calling Facebook Feedback. Several months ago, Zorba, you posted a black and white photo of you from your college years. You're donning a white lab coat with a paisley shirt and paisley tie. Go to our Facebook page now if you'd like to follow along. Here's a brief sampling of comments from our listeners. Patricia B. wrote, "Tony Orlando must have been a Zorba wannabe." Julia R. asked, "Is that a Peter Max shirt and tie?"
Yes, it was.
Juliet Q. wrote, "Groovy, man. You could be Jim Croce's twin." Ruth M. adds, "I love the hair and stash. For a second, I thought this was a photo of my Italian brother-in-law." Chris F. may have overshared by saying, "Now that looks like the guy who would own Zorba's adult shop in Scottsdale, Arizona." Rosalind S. wrote, "You must have been born with that mustache." And finally, Dave B. asked, "Where's the bong?"
That's really funny. It's really funny. No, it's a picture. It's a picture from my medical student days. That's my medical student days. That's when I was starting to work on the wards, and I was really proud of that shirt and tie. I didn't even think it was that out of place from when I went to school in the 70s.
We'll see you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at zorbapastor.org. Or don't forget, you can find us through Facebook.
And you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, hoping you'll join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Copies of today's show are available through the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 1018Z. More information on Zorba, his clinic, and healthy living, including heart-healthy recipes, podcasts, and show archives, is available online at zorbapastor.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.